Kind of like this morning, a song Jeff led this evening, I think, go quite well with what I'm going to, at least some of what I'm going to talk about tonight, I fit in. And Gary's song this morning just struck a chord with me and made some things roll around up there that hadn't rolled in a little bit. And that's good. That's good. I told Cheryl, I said, I was almost at the point of just ad-libbing, but I thought better of it. That's always a better thing to think of. It is good again to be with you, and I just pray that every time I have the opportunity to speak with you, that in some way I can encourage you and build you up and strengthen you and encourage you for the fight. We need to rally round the standard and be ready for the battle, because we are our soldiers in the army of our Lord. One of the things that should be obvious to us by reading the Bible is we do not know when Jesus is going to return. But the moment that he does, there will be no person on this earth that does not know about it. And so this evening, for just a few moments, I want you to consider with me, what if Jesus suddenly appeared this evening, right now? Where would you want to be? I think it is a valid question. In fact, this sermon came from an article or some articles by... let me see. What was his name? Jones. Yes, W.R. Jones. He's a preacher in Texas, and I got his bulletin, and I probably an article in his bulletin, but just his way of writing things and his notations of things just always register with me. And this really does, because we do not know the hour, the moment when the Lord is going to return, but he certainly will. In John, the 14th chapter, and verses 1 through 3, in fact, the first funeral I did was for a woman whose favorite passage was this passage. And that just has always stuck with me. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Here is a guarantee from the Son of God who gave his life for us, that he will return for those who are his, that we may be where he is also. What a wonderful thought. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 2, Paul writes, "For you yourselves full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night." And then Peter says in 2 Peter 3 and in verse 10, 2 Peter 3 and verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burnt up." When that day comes, and if it was right now, where would you want to be found? Well, the first place I want to be found is I want to be found in Jesus Christ. Don't you? I want to make sure that I am found in Jesus Christ. And I'm happy to say that I am in Christ because I have believed in him and I have been baptized into his name or into his body. It was for this very purpose that the apostles are commissioned to go into the world. In Matthew 28 and verse 19, he tells them to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what they did. They took this message, beginning in Jerusalem, then to Samaria and the surrounding districts, and then to the world, they took this message. In Acts, the second chapter, we find them beginning in Jerusalem. In Acts 2 and in verse 38, it says that Peter said to them, repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I believe the gift here is salvation. Salvation. That's the gift that comes to everyone who is obedient to the gospel's call. Paul, writing to the Romans in chapter 6 and verse 3, says, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? We have made a connection with the Son. And then Paul again in Galatians 3 and verse 27 says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. We have been clothed with Christ. That's where I want God to find me, is in Christ. In fact, Paul, writing to the Philippians in chapter 3 and verse 9, says, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of our own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, a righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. There's where I want to be found. Where do you want to be found? Where do you want to be found? I want to be found living the truth. I want to be found, as the Bible says, walking in truth. I want to be living it. I don't want to be thinking about it. I don't want to be pretending it. I want to be doing it. I want to be an individual of action, don't you? Which is to say that abiding in the doctrine of Christ, I am making every effort to do just that thing. Abiding is where one lives, isn't it? I remember from my childhood, almost every prayer that I could remember from those old gentlemen in the congregation we were in at that time, they would almost always end their prayer with, take us to our places of abode. Little kid, I hadn't got a clue what that meant. Didn't mean the first thing to me. He's saying, take me home. And that's where I want to live. I want to live in God's Word. I want to make it a part of my life. Are you living the doctrine of Christ? Are you living the teachings of Christ? In 2 John 4, in 2 John in verse 4 says, I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. In 3 John verse 4, he says, I have no greater joy than this, to hear my children, or hear of my children, walking in truth. And then back again in 2 John in verse 9, the one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. Now, when Jesus returns, where do you want to be found? Do you want to be found living the truth? Do you want to be found living according to the truth? If I'm abiding in the doctrine of Christ, then I'm going to be walking in a worthy manner. In fact, note the things that Paul says about this. In Ephesians 4 and in verse 1, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling with which you have been called. Living in a way that is worthy of our calling. What's that mean? What's that mean? Live in a way that is worthy of what God has done for us. Jesus Christ came into the world to die for us and shed his blood, and he did that very thing. And my life and your lives should be lived in a way that is worthy of that sacrifice. That means I'm going to get, as we talked about this morning, as I'm going to give up the things of the world so that I can be pleasing to him in every way. In Colossians 1 and in verse 10, Paul writes, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Here again, think about this walking in a manner that's worthy. The idea here is worthy of the Lord. Man, that's pleasing. That he says, to please him in all respects. In every respect that I can please God, I need to be living that way. And then writing to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2 and in verse 12 he says, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. I want to walk in a way that pleases God because he has called me into his kingdom, into his glory, to share those things with him. I want to do everything I can to be pleasing to him in every way. When the Lord returns, where do you want to be found? Walking in the truth and in a manner that's worthy of that calling? Yeah, absolutely. That's where I want to be found. Where do you want to be found? I also want to be awake. Now, not necessarily I'm going to be awake physically when that happens. In fact, I may be asleep physically when that happens, or I may be physically deceased. Either way, I want to be found alert, doing the work of Christ, and not found sleeping spiritually. You see, no one, not one person, can serve God faithfully and be asleep spiritually. You just can't do it. It's not possible. In 1 Thessalonians again, in chapter 5 this time, and in verse 6, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober, be in our right minds, in control, and know what's going on. In Romans, the 13th chapter, in Romans 13 and verse 11, and this do, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. Think about what Paul's saying here. Knowing the time. I need to be aware of the time. The time in my life. The time in my life now is, as Paul describes it here very clearly to me, it is the same. It is the very thing that he's talking about here. That salvation is nearer than when I believed some 40 years ago or more. 50 years ago. Yeah, about 50 years ago. It's nearer. It's 50 years nearer. I need to realize it's that time. And where am I in my service to God? What am I doing? In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 30, for this reason many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. You see, when we're sleeping spiritually, we're not busy with the work of the Lord, and we're not serving Him in a pleasing way. In fact, we need to remember what the proverb writer says in Proverbs 6 and verse 9. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? And again, the proverb writer in Proverbs 19 and verse 15 says, laziness casts into a deep sleep, and an idle man will suffer hunger. He will suffer hunger spiritually too, when he's asleep spiritually. We need to remember these things when it comes to our service to God. I also, at the same time, need to be found watching. Looking for that. In fact, the idea of watching is being prepared. That's why Ezekiel is called to be a watchman. He's to give the alarm. That's what the purpose of the watchman was, to give the alarm. When the danger appeared, he gave an alarm so that everybody would be prepared for war. We need to all be watching, prepared for the Lord to come. That it will not take us by surprise. That is, unprepared. That we'll be ready. We'll be ready to see Him as He is. In Matthew, the 25th chapter. Matthew 25. And in verse 13. It says, be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. And then over in chapter 26 and in verse 41. He says, but keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Here's a warning to the three apostles that are with Jesus when he goes out to pray. He leaves the others behind. He takes these three a little farther with him, and then he goes on beyond them. He warns them here to keep watching and praying. Why? That you may not enter into temptation. One of the things that always struck me about that, was, do you think the reason Peter gave in to the temptation to deny Jesus was the fact that he wasn't watching and praying? I would guarantee you, almost, that's exactly what happened. Had he watched and prayed, as he should have been doing, he could have avoided he could have overcome the temptation. But he gave in to the flesh and slept. Do you ever give in to the flesh and let it have its way? And do you sleep spiritually so that you're not watching and you're not praying when you need to be? And so you're not prepared for the next attack of Satan, that you might not enter into temptation? Certainly something to contemplate. Paul, writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 16, and in verse 13 says, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Reminds me of God's admonition to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Why? Because I'm going to go with you. God will go with us as well, will he not? Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, Paul writing to the Colossians in Colossians 4 and verse 2 says, devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Not only staying alert and watching and being prepared, but at the same time giving thanks to God the Father. Where do you want to be found? When the Lord returns, where do you want to be found? Do you want to be found awake and alert spiritually and watching so that you're not unprepared? That's where I want to be found. I also want to be found at peace. I want to be found at peace, first of all, with God. You see, in 2 Peter 3 and in verse 14, Peter writes, therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, spotless and blameless. To be at peace with God, I must be doing the things that please him. Paul, writing to the Romans in chapter 5 and verse 1, says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he shed his blood, and I have been obedient to the gospel's call, and by that blood being shed, I have been cleansed of all my sins, and I can be at peace with him. Will I stay in that peace? I need to. And secondly, I want to be at peace with my fellow man. As much as it is possible for me to be at peace with them, I want to be at peace with them, without compromising the truth. The Hebrew writer says in chapter 12 and verse 14, pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. And then Paul again in Romans 12 and verse 18 says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Really need to remember, the only thing I can do at being peace with all men is to be as much at peace I can be with them. As far as it falls on me and what I can do it to be at peace with them. Because you see, there are just some people you can't be at peace with. They won't let you be at peace with them. But as far as it falls on you, be at peace with all men. So when the Lord returns, do you want him to find you at peace with him and with men? I think that that's what I need to do. That's where I ought to be found. I want to be found blameless. And I realize some of this kind of overlaps, but the truth is I want to be found blameless. And simply put, I don't want to be found guilty of sin. I want every sin I have ever committed taken care of. That means that I'm going to have to spend time daily to make sure that every sin I ever commit is taken care of promptly and correctly and as God would have me to do. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 14, Peter writes, therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, without guilt. Spotless, no spot on that white robe He has given you. Paul, writing to the Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 15, says that you may prove yourselves blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. That goes back to Jesus' statements in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. Being lights to the world. Shining that light. Glorifying God in the lives that we live. In Ephesians 5 and verse 27, he says that he might present himself, the church, in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and blameless. We are his bride. We are that church. And we need to be blameless and holy, as we talked about this morning. Writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 8, he says, who shall also confirm you to the end blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ? And then John, in 1 John, and verse 1, or chapter 1, and verses 6 and 7, he writes, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. We need to walk in the light. And sometimes you just got to go in and turn it on, right? You've got to open it up, and you've got to read it, so that it may turn on the light within your soul. I want to be found blameless when God returns. I want to be found without sin. I want to be found without any spot or wrinkle or any blemish on that garment of white that He gives. And I want to be found in praise and glory and honor of God. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1 and verse 7, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That it may be result in the praise and glory and honor. That's where I want to be found. I want to be found bringing glory and honor and praise to my God. Because He has done so much for me. Where do you want to be found? I guess maybe the last thing I want to share with you is the idea that I want to be found with my name written in the book of life. What about you? Think about it. Every saved soul name is in the book of life. But it can be wiped out. So I want to make sure, and do you want to make sure that your name is still in the book of life? Well, I want to be welcomed into the eternal abode of God, don't you? Well, I'm going to have to make sure that my name is written in the book of life. When Jesus is speaking to the church at Sardis in Revelation 3 and verse 5, he says, he who overcomes shall thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. I want to hear Jesus confess my name before the Father and before his angels, don't you? Well, then I need to have my name written in the book of life. I don't want Jesus wiping it out. And so I've got to do those things that are necessary to make sure that my name stays in the book of life. Am I doing that? Are you doing that? In fact, what happens if your name is not in the book of life? Well, in Revelation 20 and verse 15, John writes that if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Well, that doesn't sound like fun. Why? Why was he thrown into the lake of fire? Well, because in chapter 21 and verse 27, talking about the city of God, he says that nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's why. In order to keep your name written in the Book of Life, you need to make sure that nothing unclean or unholy is in you, that you aren't practicing abominations and lying and deceit and all of those things that would injure you. That way, Jesus won't have to rub your name out of the Book of Life, but that he will leave it in there. If Christ suddenly came to take his saints away, there will be no opportunity to change life. You will be found as you are. Think about that again. Think about it. When the Lord returns, there will be no second chance. I said this morning that one of the greatest things about our God is that he does give us another, he will give us another opportunity. He will take us back. But there's a point in time when that will not be possible. Either at death for us physically, or when the Lord returns. When one of those two things happens to us, there is no opportunity to change. We will be found as we are. Where do you want to be found? What kind of person do you want to be found do? And what kind of person do you want to be found as? You see, if you were to be determined, Think about it this way. We have opportunities every day. We either take advantage of those opportunities or we don't. You have an opportunity now. If your life's not right, you have an opportunity right now to change that. But if Jesus comes in the next minute, there won't be a time to change it. If you leave this world by death, there will not be an opportunity to change it. I was thinking this afternoon about the fact that in 6 years, I will be the age my father was when he passed away. That resonates with me. That resonates with me. And I'm thinking, but that's not promised to me. That's not promised to me. In fact, the very next hour, the very next half hour, the very next 15 minutes is not promised to me. And it's not promised to you either. What will you do if your life's not right? What will you do if you're found with your name not written in the Book of Life when that day happens? It will be a sad day, won't it? The opportunity to change it is now. Won't you come as we stand and sing?